Buenos días, iglesia. I had to do that. You know I have to do that. Good morning. I don't know if you've ever had the podium this way, but I'm changing things around a little bit, you know. So we'll see what happens. It's so great to be with you. It really, really is. Asheville Church has not failed me yet. This is the third time that I've come. And what I'm talking about is the singing. Is that you know, there's a song that's familiar, but it's changed up. There's a little twist in it. And I really appreciate that. It just elevates my worship. But we are so grateful, my family and I, to be here with you this morning. So encouraging to be invited to come and share some things that God has taught us that we're learning in Triangle, that I hear that you're learning here as well. I do bring you greetings from the Triangle Church, and I know some of us from the Triangle Church are here. I was like, hey, I know you. And you know what's really cool? Alex and I talked about me coming about a month ago, and today, you know, obviously we're here, and the church in Triangle, they're all at home. It's cold, it's icy, Chapel Hill, they could not come into the driveway, so everybody's having, you know, service at home, which is a good thing, but I'm excited to be with you this morning. And so, you know, we need to be praying for the church over there in Triangle as they worship at home, but it's exciting to be together with you and to be able to sing songs, to hear God's word, to be able to share God's word with you, and I'm very, very excited about that. Let's go to God in prayer one more time here as we jump into our lesson. As we continue with the Heaven series, and the title for today is going to be The Greatest Reunion Ever. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to come together this morning. Thank you for all of the worshiping that we've been able to do, that you've allowed us to do that this morning. Thank you that, Father, we can look at each other and be encouraged about just how much we desire to just long to know you better. And Father, we do that through prayer, through singing, through hearing your word, God, through applying it in our lives. So Father, not just listening to it here and having this experience here on a Sunday, but God, that we are disciples of Jesus. We're called to be every day of our lives. Father, we ask that today, that God, you would meet us where we are at, as all of us are in very different places. Father, help us to be the men and the women that you've called us to be. Use us, God, so that we can make an impact for your glory and not ours. And I pray, God, that as we discuss together the greatest reunion ever that awaits us, God, that we are left here inspired by what the Word of God teaches us. Father, we love you. We thank you. We lift up these prayers before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. You might have heard this scripture already, but I do want to set the tone once again about heaven. And I hope that you are excited that you are leaving here on Sundays after listening to this message inspired to dig deeper in your word about heaven and think about the impact that that is supposed to be making in your life right now, and it's supposed to make an impact in the people that you reach out to, the people that you study the Bible with. Our Bible series, we have all kinds of different Bible series to try to help people to get to know God. But I believe that while we're doing that, we've got to always point them to the end result. The reason why we're doing this is that we want to come into the presence of God. Amen. And be with him and have a great time doing that. It's not just, you know, the idea of, you might have heard this already, you know, we're up there with harps, you know, on a cloud. Have you ever thought that? I did growing up. It's a lot more than that. You know, Hebrews 12, verse 22, it says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This place that God is preparing for us, this heavenly Jerusalem, says that there are thousands and thousands of angels. I always wondered, there's got to be more than thousands, right? But I sometimes look at the scriptures and I think, you know, God, in trying to describe things, maybe he needs to, what I like to use, dumb it down for us a little bit. Yeah. What can our eyes, you know, take in when we see things? I think if we use the word millions and billions, that's just too big for our own eyes. But thousands, maybe we can handle. And so God is describing this place where there's angels and that they're in joyful assembly. They're together, excited to be together. I hope that this morning you're excited to be together. You know, I know, like Alex referenced before, you know, we could Some of us, you know, we've had maybe a rough week this past week. And I can tell you, you know, the last couple of weeks for our family, everybody's been sick at least once with 102 fever. I've had bronchitis, almost went to the hospital or is getting there. We've been sick and you've been feeling all these different things. I know Alex has been sick. I was talking to my other buddy, Kevin Thompson. He's been sick. He didn't come to church. It's been crazy, you know. And we can have times like that in our lives and we can sort of lose the joy of living. You know, we're like, man, this is just a hard place to live. But we have an eternal perspective that's supposed to encourage us that, you know what, this is not where it all ends. You know, we are looking forward to this place where God's going to be there, where Jesus is there, where we're going to be together. I don't know what you think about when talk about a family reunion. You guys with me on that? How many of you have ever been to a family reunion, first of all? Okay. How many of you have been to a high school reunion or a college reunion? Okay. Now, most of us have been in this room into a reunion. Now, what would you say is the common theme of a reunion? Common thing that happens at a reunion?
Catching up.
Okay. Telling stories, catching up, right?
Memories.
Memories, right?
Comparison.
What's that? Comparing yourself. Okay, yeah. Getting a little deeper there. Right? What else? What happens in a great reunion?
Like,
food's good, right?
Dancing.
Dancing.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. All right. What about a reunion you kind of don't really want to attend? What happens there? What happens in a bad reunion? Drinking. What's that?
Fights.
Okay. Absolutely. Some awkwardness there, right? I tell you, when you think about any type of reunion, especially right here on earth, one of the main reasons we might despise a reunion is that sometimes it involves family, past friends, or coworkers that we might anticipate drama or some type of conflict. You know, it's like you've tried to stay away. I remember going to my 10-year high school reunion, and, you know, there's certain people that you just want to avoid. You just don't want to, I hope they don't make it. You know, you get there and then you start thinking, you know, you do start the comparing. You're like, oh man, look at him. He's gained a little weight. He used to be, you know, the number one guy on the basketball team. Now he looks like he's carrying a basketball. And so, and, you know, you, as a disciple, you take that back and you say, you know, I've got to be loving. Can't be thinking that way, you know. But no, you know, we might be surprised in an unpleasant way with, you know, the experience there. And so we're not expecting to have a good time, maybe. Maybe you're just looking at, okay, if I have to go, hopefully I got something to do right after and I can tell people that, right? And so reunions don't become something fun. Because what we do when we're feeling forced to go is, you know, we might go on a diet, you know, just to look good, right? To go over there, or you're hoping to avoid certain people. You hope that at the very least that the food is good, like it was mentioned, and maybe that the time might go by fast. But I want you to listen to these verses of the Bible about the reunion that God has in store for us. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, it says, and you can just listen, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now the word feast, you know, that means a lot to us as people. We love good food. You know, one of the things that my wife and I always enjoy about Asheville is that you can't find a bad restaurant. I mean, we've kind of stumbled on places, and we, you know, even a regular pizza place, at least where what we've tasted, has been good. And so we're people that we love food. We love to feast. And once again, I believe this is God's way of kind of dumbing it down a little bit for us, that heaven's going to be a feast. And if you can picture the best kind of spread of food that you've ever had, it can't compare it to what heaven's going to be like. That reunion that's going to be there, it's going to be even greater than that. Imagine eating all you can eat if there is, quote unquote, a certain food we're eating and you don't have to count the calories. Right? Or worry about running out of something. You ever been there? Or you're just there, you eat something, oh, I got to go back to that before it's all gone. God's feast, we got everything that we can possibly imagine in the presence of God. Look in Revelation 7 with me. You guys still with me on this? We got to change our mind about this reunion. I hope that today we can take away those thoughts of the reunions that we've had or the ones that maybe awaits us and that we're afraid to attend and think about the greatest reunion we'll ever have. And there's, I believe, some things that we can leave here today encouraged that God wants to remind us or show us a picture of what it's going to be like. In Revelation 7 verse 9, John the Revelator, he says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne, all around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders asked me, 'These in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from?' And I answered, 'Sir, you know.' And he said, 'These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence.'" Look at what it says in verse 16. "Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not be down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God himself, will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Do you want to be at that reunion right there? That's the place that God's preparing for you and I to be. For those that we reach out to and help become a Christian, he wants us to be right here. Because let me tell you, in any family reunion or any friend reunion that we may have in this world, and even, you know, just getting up in the morning and going outside, there's going to be disunity. There's going to be people that don't get along with other people. And in heaven, in this great reunion, there's going to be perfect harmony. You ever listen to four great singers come into harmony? Doesn't that sound awesome? And I really appreciate the choir. They do such a great job leading us. When you hear, you know, four people, and this is, I've learned a lot about music. My wife's a singer. She sings. She's been singing all her life. I try to be a singer. Doesn't go too well. But, you know, when four singers sing together, sometimes there's this fifth sound that we hear, created from the four. And it's a beautiful harmony. It's close to perfect, not exactly perfect, because the perfect harmony that we're going to experience is way bigger than that. But we can appreciate these, I believe, glimpses of heaven of what harmony is supposed to be. You know, when four different voices come together and this harmonious sound comes out, we're like, wow, that's amazing. We're blown away by that. And we're blown away by that because we live in a world where things are not always like that. There is all kinds of things that are just separating us from being united with one another. There's traffic. You know, how many of you had trouble, you know, even yesterday driving around, you know? I mean, we've got traffic problems. We got politics, you know, trying to divide us. We've got hate groups out there. There are divorces happening. There's crime. There's racial tension, there's war, there's terrorism, there's evil in this world, and it's everything against what perfect harmony is supposed to be like. Our society, you know, has moments where we do highlight, though, when there's something that reminds us that heaven can be something like this. You know, you ever watch a team come together in the championship of any sport, you pick it. You know, maybe March Madness is among us, right? You know, the best team is probably going to be the one that's most united. The one that plays together, one that listens to the coach, where there's just that harmony. And we get behind that as people, right? We get excited when we see, we may not follow sports all year round, but when we're watching a championship or the Olympics and you see, you know, a team do something, accomplish, we're like, wow, that's amazing. We applaud it. We're like, and I, to me, really, that's a glimpse, maybe just, I don't know, a hair drop of what it's going to be like to be with God, to be together in this great reunion. There will be perfect harmony. We can't solve all the problems in the world, can we? We must become more and more the consistent picture of heaven as a church by us embracing what Jesus in John 17, what Jesus says in John 17, where he prays, right? He's praying to God about our unity. Because as we as a church, as we practice forgiveness, as we come together and we're people of all nations. I look in this room, I love it. We are a different group, you know. I can come here, speak Spanish, and you guys still like me. I mean, you know, some other places are like, hey, dude, go learn speak English. You know, we're together. We're of all people. That's heaven's gonna be like that. If you're just comfortable with people of the same color skin, you're gonna be real uncomfortable in heaven. Yeah. It's not supposed to be that way. We're all God's children. God made us completely different. I love the differences of my children. Just looking at all three of them. They're very different. They may have a lot of similarities physically wise, but they are different in so many ways. And their personalities, God has given that to them for my wife and I to learn how to be parents and to enjoy them and for them to be an impact in this world the way he wants them to be. Each one of us have this very special ingredient that God has put in you so that you can make an impact in this world for his glory. And we're going to bring that personality, that fire, that ingredient that God's given. And it's going to be beautiful. It's this masterpiece when we come together in heaven. Yeah. All together, we make this incredible, maybe we call it a quiche. who likes quiches? You know, you can throw all kinds of stuff in quiches, right? And it just tastes good. My wife loves quiches. She can, you know, she's like in the morning sometimes, she's like, let's just make a quiche. I'm like, all right. And we look for everything we can in the fridge and we'll just throw it in there. Except when she puts broccoli. I can't eat broccoli. I just don't like broccoli. But anyway, getting us on another topic here. We, all of us together, we bring something real special as a church. And I just want to remind us that what we're called to be, united with one another, because the world, that's all it practices. It's disunity in so many ways. And we get to practice to be one, to be united. Secondly, you know, one of the things that we might despise, like I said, about family reunions or reunions in this world, is that there are surprises and sometimes they're not splendid. They're not good surprises. But let me tell you, in heaven, there will be great surprises. It's one thing to keep in mind about going to heaven. We keep our identities in heaven. And you might have heard this already. You know, the story of Lazarus reminds us that we retain identity and we know other people there that we knew here. But to some of our surprise, there will be people in heaven that can't wait to meet you one day when you get there. There are people that are going to be there that when you get there and when they get there, it might be a very different time. In our time over here, maybe 50, 100, 150 years later, and these people are waiting to meet you because you are the great, 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 great grandfather, grandmother of someone that you passed on your faith. Wow. Can you imagine being in heaven and that this young man or young woman comes up to you and says, I've been dying to meet you. I heard about when you shared your faith and you became a Christian, you've passed that on to your children, and here I am, relative of yours that have become a Christian. Those are going to be amazing surprises, right? In heaven. You know, we're going to have surprises of people that we love that has passed away. You know, one of the people that my wife and I love so much are the Lyles, and when Janine passed away, to think that when I get to heaven, I get to see her again. And so many of us have people, we've been in the church long enough that have gone and passed along, and yet you get to be united with them again, to see them, to be encouraged by them. You know, I know some of us are thinking, but what about some of the people that we love that maybe did not make it over there? Will that make us sad? Well, that is something to talk about, and we'll discuss this another time. Actually, Alex will preach on that. Rick did the same thing. He's like, oh, we'll talk about it another time. I mean, we actually did address that, but that's a whole other lesson. But you know, the other surprise that you may not know or not expect is, you know, some of us have gone through a lot of difficult things in life. And, you know, maybe I'm touching some subjects here, some people that are deeply hurt by this. But there are people here that have aborted a child or miscarried. And can you imagine getting to heaven and being able to say, here I am, Mom. Here I am, Dad. It's okay. God has forgiven us for so much. And these are the little pleasant surprises that it's going to make our reunion amazing. Because it's going to come at us from all different angles. I don't even know how we're going to keep it together. I mean, I know the Bible says God wipes every tear. He's going to be wiping a lot of tears of joy. You know, as we experience this euphoria of being able to celebrate this great victory, of being in perfect harmony with one another, and to expect surprises like that, that's just going to blow our minds. See, we've got to think deeper about heaven, not just a place when we die. It's going to be an incredible place, an amazing reunion. You know, there's some statistics that we need to know about this, because when I read that scripture in Revelation 7, you know, never again will I hunger, thirst, you know, God will shelter them. He'll wipe away every tear. I mean, we live in a world where there's just, you know, every 90 seconds, there's an abortion happening right now. More than 85 million children worldwide are subjected to the worst form of child labor through sex trade and forced physical work. A child under 5 years of age dies every minute. How long have we been here? 11:30. Imagine, since 10 o'clock, just from 10 o'clock, every minute, there's been a child that has died because of diarrhea, like contaminated water, poor sanitation, unsafe practices. More than 90% of natural disaster-related deaths occur in developing countries all around us. These affect people. These affect children. To me, it makes a whole different light to when we read in Mark 10, you remember the story where the disciples wanted to shoo the children away? And what did Jesus say? Let the children come to where?
To me.
Jesus said, he was indignant about it, actually, the scripture says. Mm-hmm. So all these children, these things that have happened around the world, I think Jesus sees it from a whole different, heaven's going to be a place where there's a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. Jesus be surrounded by them because he loves them so. It's going to be a special place. You know, that's all over the world, but right here in the U.S., you know, 45.3 million people live in poverty. 49.1 million are in homes, which are termed food insecure households. Only 8 other states exhibit higher food insecurity. The whole United States average is 14.6. Right here in North Carolina, we're at 17.3. That's a lot of households where children are crying because there's no food. There's a lot we can do, church, to present heaven to people. See, we are the hope that God has put on this earth to help people. And it's like, how do you reach all those people? I can be overwhelmed, you know, just thinking about those statistics. I didn't give you those statistics so that you can be overwhelmed. I give you the statistics so you understand how important each and every one of you are to helping other people to get to know this God that we know. He wants to invite all of us to this reunion. You know, we got plenty of stories in the Bible. We've got that story of where God's throwing this feast, this party, and the place is not filled up, and he's asking people to come, and what happens? They make excuses. And so God sends his servants out again. Whoever wants, come on in. See, we've got to be those men and those women that say, come on, you got to come with me. We got to have the enthusiasm and excitement. But if you're not enthusiastic and excited, you're not going to be able to pass that on to people around you. And so I believe these heaven series, these reminders in the scriptures, is to help us to keep in mind the big picture of things. It's a great party that awaits us. I don't want to miss out. I don't want you to miss out. And you got to look at your neighbors, people at your school, people at your jobs, wherever we go. When we step out of this building today, I look at people with different eyes like, I want you to go. Go where? Come with me. You know, let me show you. Open up the Bible. Show them these scriptures. It's an incredible opportunity that we have. And finally, we're going to have endless fellowship there. You know, anytime we have a fellowship break, isn't it hard to just get back into your chair, right? I mean, we just love being with each other. We do. I mean, we're a church that just enjoy each other's presence. We love talking, catching up. I mean, imagine being in heaven. My wife and I, we've traveled a lot. You know, just like Alex mentioned, I don't know about traveling the whole world. I just, you know, God just, he's been, I'm like, we're like a ping pong ball. You know, we've been all over the place and sometimes been kicking and screaming. I'm like, we'd rather stay here right now, Lord. And God's taken us to these other places. And I'm grateful, definitely, for the experiences. Because one of the things I'm grateful for is all the relationships that we've been able to build with people in the places that we've been. And so we have all these names of people that we wish we were all in the same church. Just all together, right? Just that we can come every Sunday morning and just be together because of the time that we spent with them. And I know that we can't do that right here on this earth, but we'll be able to do it in heaven. You know, we have, and maybe you guys can relate, but there's a bunch of names I think of that just come to mind. You know, we have a family, they're called the Wares, their last name are the Wares. They live in South Carolina. They're like parents to us in the faith. And, you know, imagine having endless fellowship with someone who's been like a mentor, sort of mom and dad to you in your faith. And we all can have that when we invest our relationships with each other. You know, we have best friends in the faith. There's a couple, family, the Molinas, our children, one of our son, my son and their daughter were born on the same day, about an hour apart. And she was pregnant. The wife was pregnant about a month ahead of my wife, but it just all worked out that she was in the hospital. My wife was scheduled for a C-section. And it was like Father of the Bride, if you ever watched that movie. You know, I'm coming out with the baby. Your turn. You know, we're talking to the doctor. You know, hey, you're ready for a second one? And he's laughing and he's enjoying it too because he's watching us just enjoy this memory that we will have forever. You know, we call each other. And it was actually her birthday too, the mom's birthday on that day. So it's three birthdays that we celebrate. We're always calling each other on July 24th. I mean, we have people in our lives that are lifelong advisors. We have people that, they're just like, you know, an extended Latino family, the Broyles, you might know them. They're just incredible people that's been in our lives. The Allreds. I mean, you know, I'm so grateful for Alex. While we were in Bolivia that year and a half, the person I had the most contact with in the United States was Alex. We Skyped once a month, and so funny, we actually talked more while I was away than we do while we're here. Only a couple hours away, so I'm going to leave again. just kidding, honey, just kidding. But, you know, coming here, you know, just spending this time with you, it means a lot to me because of my relationship with Alex and the relationship I get to build with the church here. But it's relationships. This is what we get to do in heaven, is to be with one another and enjoy each other's presence. You know, you got to imagine in our great reunion, we don't have to take a break for water. We won't have to take a break for food. We don't have to look at the time. John, you're preaching too long. And look at the time and be able to say, okay, you know, what do I got to do next? You know, fight traffic, get ready for work tomorrow. We're just going to be together. It's a never-ending party. And you know what makes this fellowship a divine upgrade? I'm just going to use that terminology for it. Is that in the middle of all of us being together, it's going to be God. Enjoying that. Now, if you're a parent, you can maybe relate here another glimpse. Have you ever had your kids argue with each other? And you're just frustrated as can be. You're like, come on, guys, get along. Now, my kids don't do that. They never argue. But, you know, those kids I've heard, right, when they argue, and then when they're actually having a good time together, and they're playing well, and they're hugging each other, or they're just you know, creating these memories, whatever it may be, playing Monopoly, running together, building snowmen together, and you watch them. My wife and I have had an experience to just watch our kids, and we love it. We just enjoy it. Sometimes tears come out of our eyes. Sometimes we go out and join them. Sometimes we're just like that fly on the wall, just watching them play. And I know God can do that from heaven. But how incredible it'll be for us to see our God watching us have endless fellowship with one another. You see, I got my kids. They're with me. I could just see God cry. I want to cry right now, but I'm Latino. You know, I'll cry about anything. I mean, but just imagine. I mean, just God just being there and watching his kids. You know, maybe we can remember the arguments that we had, and that now it's like there's nothing to argue about. We are together. We've made it. We're high-fiving each other. We are excited. But the reason of all the excitement is that we get to worship this God together. We get to hug our daddy. We get to be with him. We get to hold his hand. We get to enjoy a divine upgrade because he's the one who made us. He's the one who knows us, who's rescued us, who's placed us together, who can fill in the gaps. You know those gaps in life where you wish, like, why did that happen? And get to talk to God about those things. How joyful this will be. It will be the feast of feasts. It'll be the fellowship of fellowships. You know, Paul in Philippians 1 said it best when he said in verse 21, to die is to gain. You know, if we were about to have dinner together and we're to raise our glasses, I would say cheers to one day gaining. We get to celebrate thinking about this time. The greatest reunion ever is only great to those who get to go. We've got incredible tasks before us. And each one of you have been tasked. You've been given this great gift, this great opportunity. We've got friends of ours I know that are here that are studying the Bible. And I just want to encourage you to get more answers. Ask a lot of questions. Talking to Aaron, right? Yeah. I was like, ask a lot of questions, Aaron. I mean, there's a lot of questions to ask when we're studying the Bible. That's a good thing. A lot of great things to learn and to gather about God. And be inspired. And pass that on, you know, to other people. Because this greatest reunion is for everyone who listens to God's word. God invites you to attend. Invites all of us to attend. And bring everyone. Let's take God's word and be inspired this morning to share it. To understand that we have this perfect harmony that awaits us. As we look at these glimpses here on earth. We get an opportunity to see those surprises, those splendorific. Is that a word? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. Thank you. Surprises that God has for us. And then lastly, that we'll have a fellowship that will never, ever end in the presence of our God. Amen?
Amen.
And to God be the glory.
Let's take a moment, let's reflect on that. Who wants to share something that John brought out?